Going Linux, episode 283, Community, the Linux Advantage. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushman.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
In today's episode, Community, the Linux Advantage. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Larry.
What has been going on with you this week or so?
Well, I have two funny stories, not even related to Linux, but they're just so funny I had to say them.
Oh, okay.
Well, one is related to Linux. I reinstalled one of my operating systems. I was running an old version of Ubuntu Studio, and I like Ubuntu Studio, so I always keep it on one of my spare test machines. Mm-hmm. So I went and installed a new one. Well, I use certain passwords that only I know for my test machines and my production machines, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But for some reason, I used a different password, and now I can't remember it. So I went, I did a full encryption on this thing. I had just got all the files set up, all the programs installed, all the updates done, and now I can't remember the password.
So are you going to have to restart over again? Or?
Yeah, because I worked on it a few days, and I kind of just set, it was everything. Everything was perfect. It was running great. Programs were running how I wanted. I had Compass set back up. I mean, I had it right. It was like, oh, this is just perfection. And then the idiot that is me forgot the password.
Well, the good thing is that with whole disk and folder encryption, unless you have the password, you're not getting into it. The bad news is, if you forget the password, you're not getting into it.
And it isn't like I need to have more practice doing distros. I've installed so many distros, I'm actually getting a little tired of installing all these distros. But no, it's kind of a stupid bill move on my part. But the other one, I have to say, now, I have two little dogs.
Yep.
And one's a Jack Russell and one's a Dachshund. Well, mm-hmm. The Dachshund's, she's mine. Her name's Isabella. So yesterday I decided that this is a recurring theme in my house, sort of, apparently, because you even pointed this out when I was telling you about it. Einstein last time stole my breakfast. Well, this time the Dachshund, when I went to go wash my hands, stole my hamburger that I had. It was just like the most perfect burger. It was two patties with melted cheese, sauteed onions, fried egg on top of it, lettuce. It was beautiful.
Bacon, you gotta have bacon.
Oh, I had bacon. It was mustard, sweet pickles. It was great. So I went.
Sounds good.
I'm sure it was. Someone enjoyed it. I didn't. So I come back and I'm looking, and there's just an empty plate with a little red ketchup trail all the way to my little dog. She has a cat condo she likes to sleep in. And I look in, and she's just already eaten half of that hamburger. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? And it was hot, and she was just eating it just like it was, But I love Dachshunds, and I can't stay mad at her because she just looks at me with those eyes and goes, what, Daddy? What did I do? So she got the hamburger that I spent 30 minutes cooking, sauteing the onions and all that, and I ate bologna because she ate the last one of the hamburgers that I had because I had bought a 4-pack, and I had used a couple of them for some chili, and I had made a hamburger, earlier. And so this last one was just the perfect hamburger. And, of course, she enjoyed it a lot. And then, she's looking at me like, what did I do? I'm sitting there going, I have to eat bologna because of you.
You're losing weight and your dogs are gaining weight is basically what you're saying, right?
I have been losing weight, but it's not because I haven't been eating. But I've changed what I've been eating. I've lost a lot more weight just trying to keep diabetes and stuff in check. But no, it was just like, really? I don't get hamburgers very often because, I'm trying to do what's right, not too much red meat, et cetera, et cetera. I like meat, don't get me wrong. But she chomped the heck out of that sucker. I mean, in a matter of, and as I'm watching, she polished it off, and then she looked at me, and then she went and got a drink of water and munched on a little bit of dry food and come back. It's like, what's
dessert.
I'm thinking, you darn Dotson, if you weren't so cute, I'd kill you right now. Nah, not really. But yeah, her name's Isabella. She gets away with murder. I mean, she knows she's not supposed to get on the bed, but where she is right now, she's on the bed, under the covers, with her little nose hanging out looking at me, so. Yeah. I'm such the alpha around here.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, you know how that works. You know, hold on, let me go get, I'm so glad I'm the alpha male. Oh, wait a minute, they want to go outside, or they need food, or it's like, yeah, okay, they want to be petted. Okay, let's see how that works. But the only thing she did was kind of funny, is I was going through some old Linux distributions I have on DVDs, uh-huh, and one dropped on the floor, and I didn't pick it up quick enough. Well, that's fair game. So she grabbed it, and I heard this crunch, 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 and she just destroyed it in a matter of 3 seconds before I could even get it away from her. I'm like, I'm so glad. First off, I'm looking at it like, you better be glad this isn't a blank one, because you know how expensive these things are. But yeah, it was kind of funny. But
all right, well, let's get started with our episode, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. So as we said in the introduction, our episode today is about community, and we're talking about it as a Linux advantage, an advantage for Linux and Linux users. So let's talk about that. You hear us talk about our going Linux community and open source community and the Linux community in general, but what is a community and why is it important? Well, in brief, anybody who helps other people to enjoy, use, and support a common cause could be considered members of a community. Today, we're going to talk about and focus on Linux and open source communities. The term Linux is used to describe open source software consisting of an operating system kernel, a graphical user environment, and software configuration utilities and applications that make the computer usable.
There are many different versions of Linux available. These versions are referred to as distributions. What Linux distributions, desktop environments, and most Linux applications all have in common is they are all open source. Using open source software like Linux and Linux applications provides you with the freedom to run a complete full-featured operating system already pre-configured with most, if not all, of the applications you will need for your daily computing, or to change anything about the way it looks, the way it works, or the application it runs to suit your taste. For instance, I like to use Banshee on certain things. I like using LibreOffice. So I like to be able to change things around. So that's always nice.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Bill. And that's an example of how you can change things. And you can even go into the source code and change things around there if you're a programmer or you know what you're doing there. So that's one of the advantages of using Linux. And although you'll find some distributions of Linux for purchase, the vast majority are provided free of charge. Open source software is licensed in a way that allows anyone to give it away for free, no strings attached. For example, the license gives any member of the user community the freedom to use Linux for any purpose, to distribute, modify, redistribute, or even sell the operating system. And if you do modify and then redistribute Linux with your modifications, you're required by the license to submit your modifications for possible inclusion into future versions of that distribution. There's no guarantee that that will ever happen, but if you've made it better, then your changes might just be included in the next release of your distribution of Linux.
Or you'll get yelled at by Linus.
Maybe.
He's a real firebrand from what I've read some of this stuff. But I do have a question. You said sell the operating system. I didn't think you could sell the operating system. I thought you could sell the physical media and you could sell support.
It depends on the license. So some open source licenses allow you to actually sell the distribution itself. I think most people who do sell open source software are selling the media, just making enough money to cover the cost of the media they sell it on. Mm-hmm. Red Hat software, they're selling the support that goes along with it. But there are other distributions of Linux that are sold Even if you're downloading the media and creating it yourself. So you can sell it.
Well, I know that you can do that with FreeBSD, and under that license, you don't even have to get all of your source code back, which that seems kind of weird. But I know there's some differences in version 2 and version 3 of the GNU public license. I can't remember the exact difference. I know version 3 is a little more strict than version 2, because I know Linus says that he's going to keep in the Linux core under GPL version 2. He won't move it to 3.
As I understand it, the main difference that has some significance here between version 3 and version 2 is that version 3 restricts more your freedom of choice. So if you use a piece of software that's licensed under version 3, you're required to license any derivative works that you're distributing under version 3. You can't use version 2 of the GPL to or any other license to distribute your product under. So GPL version 2 allows you some flexibility there that version 3 just adds some restrictions onto it. So it restricts your freedoms a little bit more.
That's kind of interesting. But anyway, moving on, many users of Linux are corporations, believe it or not. They use the operating system to run their businesses or include it within their products. Google's Chrome OS and Android have roots in Linux. Many of these corporations that make use of Linux provide fixes and new features for Linux as they use the software for their businesses. These improvements are again given back to the Linux community, and Linux improves as a result. So basically, they take it, they make it better, and then they give us all the improvements, and we can reincorporate it. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we can continually improve and grow without having to charge large amounts of money to our users.
Right, and whether you're a home user of Linux, a Linux software or application developer, or an employee of an organization that uses the operating system, you're a member of the Linux and open source communities, and you benefit from the efforts of the developers who contribute to Linux.
Members of the Linux community can and do run Linux on almost any hardware, from the prettiest MacBook to the cheapest netbook, from the newest Chromebook to some very old machines designed for Windows. And we're talking Windows like XP and even earlier. And from the most powerful internet servers to the world's smallest smart thermostat. Yes, that's Nest uses Linux.
Yep.
That thing is so cool. I want one just so I could have it.
Yeah, and there's more and more what they're calling the Internet of Things,
like yes,
thermostats and so on, that are powered by Linux, or other open source derivatives like BSD and so on that are really part of this open source community.
It's amazing what they can run on. I've actually seen Linux running on a 486 with 8 megs of RAM and running well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
486 you hadn't seen in years, but it still runs.
Right.
It's awesome.
I just retired my oldest computer, which is about 16 years old.
Oh, only 16?
Yeah.
You really need to use your stuff a little bit longer, you know? You like to turn things over too much.
I know, and it was running Ubuntu Mate when it finally died. The it was a laptop, and the screen had died long ago, so it was hooked up to an external monitor, and you know, it worked just fine, and then all of a sudden, it just started to overheat, and I thought, okay, this is it. I'm not going to be able to find parts for a 15, 16-year-old computer, so it's done. It's served its time. It's
You actually have a computer older than mine. My oldest is 10.
Well, my 15, 16-year-old one is gone, so you've got the older one now, so
yeah,
you've got the record.
You still got faster internet speed than me. Don't want to talk about that. Okay, moving right along.
Okay. So in The Art of the Community, John O'Bacon mentions an inspiring, engaging, and enjoyable community. And having an inspiring, engaging, and enjoyable community is the lifeblood of any open source software project. The community provides product and feature ideas, user support, developer talent, documentation, financial support, visionary direction, and cultural norms for the benefit of anyone who uses, contributes to, or otherwise supports the project.
So, I'll give you an example of a couple communities that have been very successful. One right now, Linux Mint, very successful community. I think they have a better, sometimes their forms are actually better than Ubuntu's when you have problems.
Right. And as you know, I use Linux Mint, and the first place I go for any questions that I have that I can't answer myself is to go to the Linux Mint forum. And then I just Google for the answer if it's not specifically in that forum. And the other one that I end up on more frequently than not is the Arch Linux community. And they have a lot of good contributions to documentation and support on their site that applies across all distributions in many cases.
Yeah. I don't like the Arch site, but I do like the Ubuntu Mate site.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to Linux Mint's because I have a disagreement with some of their principles in their community, so I stay away from them. But that's just me. The nice part about it is if you have a community that you particularly don't agree with some of their stances, whether it be about technology, political, whatever, there's always another one that you can find that someone is like-minded. So I use Ubuntu, I use Mate, I'll go to PC Linux OS sometimes because, you know, I've used that one for a while. So I can always find something. Like I went to Slackware and to their forums, and theirs are kind of weird. But anyway, there's a lot of different communities with a lot of different information, so someone will have had the same problem as you or has thought of the same question. So it's so nice to have a community that you can go and kind of search through, and then if that fails, then you've got the big community called the Google.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, although many of the projects and applications and even companies have their own communities, the inspirational engagement of the Linux community is one of the key things that makes Linux one of the top three operating systems in the world. Community is a Linux advantage. And I think we've just described some of the advantages. You know, when I was having trouble getting my first Slackware, I went to their community and said, look, I am having problems. I'm an idiot. I can't follow these simple instructions. And it was just a matter of someone saying, oh, you need to add this one little thing, and it fixed it. And it took like 30 seconds for them to know what the problem, they already knew what the problem was before I asked them. So,
right, exactly, because they've probably answered it a few times, and yeah. You know, you just didn't stumble across the right forum thread that had that answer in it.
Yeah, well, I actually posted saying, look, I downloaded your 500-page manual, printed it out, and I'm following this thing, and I'm doing exactly what this thing says, and it's not working. And it was something was different. It said, oh, you just need to do this. And he typed out the command and explained what it did. And as soon as it worked, and I just went right down. So, I mean, it's actually the best free tech support you can get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as a user of Linux, the support that you get from the community is the thing that you see most of the time, the forums, the documentation, and so on. But as a developer, there's also support in the community. And you're supporting the community as a developer as well, if you happen to be a developer. And even if all you do for the community is provide some financial donations to that particular distribution or that particular open source project, that goes a long way to helping these folks continue to provide free and open source software that you and others can benefit from.
And it's just not about support either. You also have the social aspect, and I'll give you an example of our own community, the Google, our Google Plus Going Linux podcast community. Yes, they do provide support because we have some of the smartest listeners around. I tell you, they're so smart. But it also, you see people just saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. You know, I tried this, didn't work. I just had a new kid. You know, so everybody gets to know each other. So you develop this community, but it's sort of like a large, dysfunctional, crazy family. and everybody's just, you know, everybody's there to help each other out. And you got certain people that are more hardcore than others. And you got some that are laid back. And it's just like a big, wild, crazy family, and you get all these characters in there, and you know, some of them are by rights, working IT as a job. Some mm-hmm. are just carpenters. Some are just work at grocery stores or whatever. But they all one thing that kind of binds them, which is the Linux Advantage, which is the community, is that Linux brings them there, but it just doesn't stay Linux.
So
it's really fun. You know, I've met a lot of interesting, smart, and intelligent people, and some of them have some really cool sense of humor. Some of them just had me rolling the floor. So community is definitely a Linux Advantage.
Yep, definitely. And we love our community, and we love being part of a community, whether that's the Going Linux Google Plus community or the Linux Mint or the Ubuntu Studio community or just the open source community.
Yeah. But, you have to admit our community for the Going Linux podcast, they've been really supportive of everything we've done. We really dropped the ball or said something or they didn't like, but we still do this because of them, and we really love our community. They're great people.
Yep.
But I had to say that because I think our listeners are some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
They're smarter than me. I know that much.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you are part of the community. So thank you.
So welcome aboard, and make sure you go talk to all the smart, witty people over in our Going Linux podcast.
Yeah, if you haven't been there, go over to Google Plus and
don't be afraid of them. They don't bite.
But just
make sure you had all your shots. You'd be fine. Oh, I'm going to get flamed for that.
Yeah.
Larry made me do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that wraps up our episode for this time. We'll have a link to John O'Bacon's book if you're interested in the art of community, and we'll have a link to an article on our site that has a lot of this information that we've just talked about here in it, and you can review it there in writing as well as listening to this episode. So
that's a great book, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
If you guys didn't know, you can download it for free.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of looking on his website.
Yeah,
to find.
But that's a second edition, and that one includes some interviews with some really people that have done a lot of community work in, mm-hmm. and it gives you some insight to the book. So if you get a chance and you want a good read, download it, throw it on one of your e-readers, and carry it with you, because it is absolutely. I read the first edition. I hadn't read the second one. I've heard about the second one. I'm going to reread it, but I learned quite a bit.
Yeah, and if you want to purchase the book and support Jono and his efforts, it's available on Amazon, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Yeah, if you read it, if you like it, buy it.
Absolutely. We'll have a link to the Amazon site, and we'll have a link to the artofcommunityonline.org site, which is Jono's site for the book.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, our next episode, Bill, will be our listener feedback episode, of course. And until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We are the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion at our Going Linux Podcast Google Plus community.
Imagine that.
yeah, and I'm going to get so flamed.
So until next time, thanks for listening.
73.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco. at podcastthemes.com.